I remember when I first downloaded the Tinder app. I was filled with excitement and new hope. I had not been in a relationship for a while now and was really looking forward to a new beginning. My ex-boyfriend had moved to another city a year ago, and I really needed to move on. I created my profile and started swiping. Most of the profiles I came across were either fake or not my vibe. After days of swiping and multiple failed matches, I finally came across this guy who was really handsome and seemed down to earth and humble. I remember thinking to myself, it would be really nice if this worked out, and I swiped right. To my surprise, it was an instant match. A rush of happiness filled up my body and brought a smile to my face. His name was Jason. We started talking to each other, and he seemed really nice. A few days passed by, and I wonder why he hadn't asked me out yet. I tried dropping as many hits as I could, but it was of no use. So, I asked him out. This is when things started to get a little weird. "Let's go out and grab coffee someday," I texted. He replied saying, "Sure, someday." "When?" I asked. What he said next really creeped me out. "When your soul leaves the mortal world." That got me a little worried. I assumed he was joking, maybe. But even if so, that's a real morbid sense of humor. As I stared at the chat thinking what I should reply, the doorbell suddenly rang. That startled me. It was late at night. Who could that possibly be? I slowly made my way to the door, and with a lot of hesitation, opened it. "Surprise, girl!" a loud voice yelled. It was my best friend, Trisha. "I brought wine and chips," she said. I was happy to see her. We had not been friends too long, but we were close. As we sipped on wine and binge-watched horror movies, I decided to tell her about Jason. I pulled out my phone, opened Tinder, and showed her Jason's profile. And just as I did, that smile I saw on her face faded away. A serious look gripped her face. She looked at me and said, "Is this a joke?" "What's wrong?" I replied. She said, "This guy died 3 years ago, and he used to live in this same house you're living in right now." That moment I heard that, I got goosebumps. Trisha then went on to explain how this guy named Jason used to live in my house before me with his girlfriend. One night he slit her throat while she was sleeping, and then killed himself. The authorities deemed him mentally ill. She showed me the news headlines on the internet to prove she was telling the truth. I never saw this coming. Was I really talking to the spirit of a dead man? How could this be possible? The next day I thought to myself, this has to be some kind of prank. It has to be a fake profile someone created with his name and photos. I picked up my phone and opened Tinder and decided to confront the man behind the profile. But it was gone. Jason's profile had been deleted all of a sudden. I thought to myself, at least it's over. And I immediately uninstalled the app. Later that night, as I sat home alone watching TV, I heard a loud bang on my door. "Trisha?" I said out loud. I opened the door to see nobody. "That's strange," I thought. I shut the door and locked it behind me. At this point, I was starting to get a little paranoid. Later that night when I was asleep, I heard a loud bang again. This time, it came from inside the house. My dog immediately started to get restless. I slowly made my way down as I switched on the light. I got the shock of my life. Everything in my living room was out of place and scattered across the floor. Someone or something was inside my house. I began to realize that something sinister is happening to me. I never slept for the rest of the night and sat with a baseball bat right next to me. As dawn broke, I called the police and explained what happened. They looked around the house and found no evidence of a break-in. When I told them about Jason and the whole Tinder scene, they said what I actually expected them to say. "It's probably a prank, ma'am. Don't get too worried. This is a safe neighborhood." None of the officers seemed to believe the possibility that it's more than just a prank. The next night, I slept with the lights on. In the middle of the night, I heard my dog barking and growling violently. To my surprise, he wasn't in the house. As I looked out the window, I saw my dog on the front yard. "How did he get out?" I said to myself as I ran downstairs. My door was wide open, and my dog was just staring into the darkness in front of him, just growling. "What is it, boy? What do you see?" As I focused my vision ahead, I saw a dark shadow in the distance. It looked right towards me. I couldn't see a face, just a black shadow standing there. I lost my calm and fell into a state of fear. I caught my dog's collar and slowly walked backwards towards my house. I got in and locked the door. As I peeped out the window, the shadow figure had disappeared. Who was that? I thought. Was that the spirit of a dead man? I was scared. I knew I was being haunted. I had unknowingly invoked the spirit of a dead man when I started talking to Jason. I realized this was going to be a long night. And as I looked at the time, I noticed all the clocks in my house had stopped working. At the same time, they all froze at 3:06 a.m. I felt threatened and helpless. The next night, the paranormal activities continued. I kept hearing footsteps coming from the other rooms. I got this constant feeling that I wasn't alone in the house. The lights flickered every now, and at one point, I felt something touch the back of my neck. This is when I realized things were getting out of hand. And if the police were not going to take me seriously, I had to find someone who would. The next day, I called a priest to bless the house. And as he stepped in, he immediately told me he felt a dark presence lurking around. He said some prayers and sprayed holy water all over. I was never a religious person, but at this point, I was desperate for help. I had hoped the strange activities would stop now, and, well, they did. The next night was peaceful. As the days passed by, I was less scared, and things started to go back to normal. Then, one night a few weeks later, I heard a loud bang in the middle of the night, just when I thought my nightmare was over. It happened again, but this time, it was far worse. As I made my way down to the door, my dog started growling. I opened it to find a bloody knife at my doorstep. If I remember correctly, Jason had slit his girlfriend's throat with a knife. I immediately realized this haunting wasn't over. In fact, it was just beginning. One morning, I was on my way to college with my friends. As I reached college, I asked my friends if they would like to come over for lunch later on that day. Both my friends Debbie and Jennifer said that they had other plans. Debbie was going bowling with her boyfriend, and Jennifer was going trekking with her boyfriend. It was at this point that I felt lonely and left out. Both of my friends were dating, and I had no one. That's when I decided to download Tinder. Up until this point, I had never been in a relationship before. I finished college and went on for soccer practice just like I did every day since I was on the soccer team of my college. I was always athletic since I was a child and spent most of my time playing some sport or another. My dad was really proud of this. I reached home and installed Tinder that day. I began to swipe. Left, left, right, left. I didn't expect much from the app, but I tried anyway. After a few days, I got my first ever match. It was a guy named Tom. He had brown hair and the brightest smile I had ever seen. We began chatting and got familiar with each other pretty quick. We decided to meet later that weekend. I met him and we went out for dinner. During dinner, he spoke about many things, like how he has never been on a flight before and that he likes camping in the woods nearby sometimes. As we were talking, he asked, "Have you ever dated anyone before?" "No," I replied. That immediately seemed to make him more enthusiastic about me. "So that means you are pure." I wasn't sure what he meant by that, and I said, "If by pure you mean a virgin, then yes, that's perfect," he replied with a smirk on his face. I found it rather odd he used a word like pure, and the fact that he was asking me questions like these on our first date started to make me a little uncomfortable. I told him it was getting late and I had to get home soon. He said, "Why don't we take a walk in the woods? I know a path that's a shortcut to the area you live in." I personally wasn't a fan of the woods and said that I had to get home soon. However, he was very insistent. "It will be romantic," he said, "and it'll give us some more time to get to know each other." At this point, I should have just said no, but this was the first time I'd ever been on a date, and I did not want to mess it up. And moreover, it was nearly 10 p.m., and I knew it would be difficult to find a cab home that late at night in our small town. And so, I said yes. As we walked out of the diner and made our way into the woods, he pulled out a bottle of whiskey from his jacket pocket and took a sip of it. He offered me some, but I denied. I wasn't such a big fan of alcohol, to be honest. He kept trying to convince me to take a sip, and I finally caved. "Just one," I said, and took one sip. That gave me a bit of a high. Before I knew it, one became two, and two became three. We were now pretty deep in the woods, and I asked, "How much longer?" "Not too long." By this point in time, I was slightly drunk. A few minutes later, he said, "I have to go pee. Wait right here." And he walked deeper into the woods until I lost sight of him. I had started to get a little worried now. All I could think of was getting home, and here I was alone in the woods, late in the night. As I stood there, I heard footsteps coming from my right. Tom? I shouted. There was no answer. Then I heard some footsteps on my left. I realized I wasn't alone, but I kept thinking, maybe it's Tom. As I walked closer to the footsteps, I heard voices. Not just one voice, but at least two or three different ones. I couldn't make out what they were saying. I slowly walked closer to the place I'd heard the voice from, and then suddenly, blackness. I felt someone put a bag over my head from behind me, and another person immediately caught my hands. I screamed as loud as I could, and the moment I did, I felt a hard hit on my head. I had been knocked unconscious. The next thing I saw as I slowly woke is a small fire in front of me. As my vision cleared, I saw a group of people dressed in long red robes with a hoodie that covered their faces. I was confused. I did not know what was happening. I only knew what I could see, and that was the fact that I'm still in the woods and that I'd been knocked out. I realized that I'd been kidnapped. I had duct tape over my mouth. My hands were tied behind my back. I'm going to die today, I thought to myself. I've been kidnapped. I'm gonna be killed. I kept thinking. As I looked to my right, I saw another girl who was tied down just like me, only a few feet away. Where did she come from? Who was she? I wondered. She looked right at me with tears in her eyes. It felt as if she knew what was about to happen next. I noticed strange markings on the trees around me. There were symbols I had never seen before. And then I heard a voice I recognized. Ah, you're awake. Good. I instantly recognized it as Tom's voice. He stood right in front of me in the red robe. He pulled the duct tape off my mouth. I yelled, "What's going on? Let me go!" Tom replied, "Now why would I do that? Do you know how hard it is to find someone pure these days?" He then turned back to the rest of the group and said, "We can begin now." Two men in red came and picked up the girl beside me and dragged her ahead. The poor girl kicked and screamed, but the men were too strong for her. They formed a circle around her and stripped her. I was trembling in fear as I watched. They started reciting some words in an unknown language. The chants got louder and louder. In this moment, I realized what was happening. This was some sort of evil satanic ritual. The markings on the trees, the red robes, the chants. I had been kidnapped by a satanic cult, and I was just about to witness a human sacrifice. My heart started pounding and I felt dizzy. I could not believe what was happening. I realized that I was going to be next. I did not want to die. I started crying. As the men in red chanted, one of them pulled out a knife and slowly walked to the girl, who was in the center of their circle. He split a cut in her arm, and then on the other arm. They gathered around her and one by one licked the blood that was dripping from her arm. The chants continued. The girl was screaming and screaming, but with the duct tape on her mouth, it did not make any difference. The man with the knife started cutting symbols into her naked body. A few minutes later, the chanting stopped. The girl lay there bleeding out with all these satanic symbols cut into her skin. She was shivering and shaking, and I couldn't imagine the pain she felt. The men, one by one, walked to the fire, picked up a stick of burning wood. They circled around her and all at once leant forward and touched the flaming stick to her body from all directions. They were burning her alive, but slowly and painfully. As they did that, they all started chanting in that unknown language again. As I watched them sacrifice this girl, I heard a voice in my head, "You have to get out of there." I immediately realized I needed to try and escape, because in a few minutes, I was going to be their next sacrifice. I kept pulling at the rope they tied my hands with, and somehow a miracle happened. I managed to get my hands free. I knew I was going to have to make a run for it. The moment I stood up, one of the men in red screamed, "She's escaping!" The whole cult suddenly turned towards me. I turned around and ran as fast as I could. I could hear the men from the cult running behind me. I kept running until I finally reached the main road, where an old couple driving by immediately agreed to give me a lift. All that cardio I built during soccer practice finally came in handy. I went to the police station and told the cops everything. My parents came and took me home. The next day, an officer dropped by our house and told us that they could not catch anybody from this satanic cult. By the time they reached the site of the ritual, all that was left was the burnt body of the young girl who was kidnapped with me. I was filled with a deep sadness. I wish I could have done something to help her, but honestly, I was just glad that I made it out alive. I was never going to use Tinder again. A few weeks passed, but the memory of that night still is crystal clear in my mind. I woke up one morning, and as I stepped out the door to head to college, I saw what I wish I had never seen again. All the trees in our front yard had been marked with symbols. The same symbols the trees in the forest were marked with that night. Satanic symbols. My whole body froze as I realized this wasn't over. They were going to come for me again. The cult still wanted to sacrifice me, and there was nothing I could do to stop them.